Welcome back to Livable Launch, where I'm your host, Matthew Slutsky. Today we get into the heart of real estate with Stephanie Lane, Vice President of Sales and Marketing at Geranium Homes. In this episode, we tackle a range of topics, from the debate on buying a home with sidewalks or without sidewalks, to the distinct characteristics of bungalows and bungalows, and the luxurious appeal of estate homes, alongside Geranium's exciting new launches and their current move-in ready homes. Tune in to discover the endless possibilities in home buying, leaving you inspired to find the perfect setting for your dream home. Stephanie, it's great to see you today. We go way back from, when I started, originally launched BuzzBuzz Home, Davey Smith, Empire, now Geranium, with a lot of working together on Friday Harbor. Welcome to the show, Stephanie. It's great to have you here.
Thank you very much, Matt. I'm excited to join you for this podcast today. Thanks for having me.
We go way back. I think we worked closer together at some previous spots. But why don't you tell me a little bit about Geranium?
Absolutely. So Geranium has been around since 1977. So we're coming up to our 50 years, if you believe that or not, in a couple of years. So we're already starting to think about what that looks like. Lots of experience in the GTA, north of the city, across Ontario as well. Family-owned business and, building almost up to 10,000 homes so far. And really loving what we do and challenging ourselves on a daily basis.
Talking about challenging, and I mentioned Friday Harbor, you guys are kind of in a real kind of niche of the industry because you take on not your typical projects a lot of the time. You take on pretty complex projects. Do you want to tell us a little bit about, Friday Harbor? I've been involved in Friday Harbor since, I think, 1998, when I used to work for a law firm that represented Friday Harbor. Want to tell us a little bit about that niche that you're sitting in?
So Friday Harbor is a very unique community. It's an all-seasons resort just in Innisfil off the shores of Lake Simcoe. That was a project that we founded, many, many years ago through the land compilation process and have worked through the site planning process. The resort is actually now fully operational. We have a few thousand homeowners that are resort homeowners that are living there currently and enjoying all of the amenities there. You have an 18-hole championship golf course, a boat marina, full-service marina there, lots of shopping and restaurants on the promenade.
If you ever want to find me, I'll be there pretty much every Sunday in the summer, so come on by. It is really a wonderful place.
It really is. It really is. And if you haven't had a chance to enjoy it, please do so. We have lots of residential opportunities there as well, from condos to townhomes on the water with private boat slips. And the sales team there will be happy to give a personal tour to anyone that is interested. So definitely check it out.
But again, that is a complex project. I mean, there is a... Again, I worked there in the late 90s. Most builders, I don't think, could chew that much. So a unique space that Geranium is in. So I'm sure you're working on some exciting stuff that hopefully you can tell us a little bit about. As we talk about kind of changes, low-rise market, is that moving right now? I know the high-rise is on a bit of a wait and see. Builders are waiting to see how other launches are doing, and builders are slowly starting to launch. There's definitely demand. How's low rise looking right now?
Low rise is starting to move in certain areas. Definitely like high rise, the condominium landscape. We've seen a little bit of a slowdown. Definitely the mortgage rate increases have sort of paused a lot of those buyers and put them on the sidelines. So both in high rise and in low rise. We have seen some successes. We do have a success of our own that I would love to share more about. So we are seeing some buyers come back to the market, but they are being very selective. They are doing a lot of research and not moving forward quickly. Multiple visits to sales offices, multiple visits to websites to learn more information. So we are seeing definitely some interest come back to the market in certain areas on communities that I would say are priced right for today's marketplace. And I think that's where you're seeing some of those sales happening. So sort of north of the GTA or in the north areas of the GTA, York region, you're seeing some of those sales start to happen a little bit in the Niagara region as well. The most recent project that we have had success at is our Clare Haven community in Claremont, which is just north Pickering, just south of Uxbridge. And we have sold close to 70% of that community since October of last year.
Congratulations.
Yeah,
that's fantastic.
You. Yeah.
How many units is that in total, or how many homes is that?
So that community is 70 homes in total, larger lot sizes. So we're up to 1 acre lots. Wow. In that community, with homes ranging from about 2,400 square feet to just over 5,000 square feet, with a product, a home style mix of bungalows, bungalow lofts, and two-story homes. So beautiful community, large homes, big backyards, which is what I think has been one of the biggest successful driving factors there, is especially coming out of COVID, where everyone, you know, wants to have that outdoor amenity and be able to have their pool and, you know, their little place structures and whatever else that they want in their backyards. You can actually do that at Clairhaven.
For that project, where are you pulling purchasers from? Like, are they, you're talking about this big backyard, which, you know, most city dwellers don't have that. Are you seeing people still moving kind of from the 416 outward for more space? Is that
We have. We've definitely seen some from 416. Not a huge ton from downtown Toronto, per se. The majority of our buyers there have been from Pickering, Durham region, that are in probably a smaller home, I would say, you know, on a smaller lot size, smaller square footage, that are looking for that upsize, that move up opportunity. So they're buying, you know, the bigger lot, they're potentially, you know, a small family, young children, multi-generational families too. That's been a lot of where the interest has come from. So having an aging parent.
So are you building kind of secondary units within the home for... How are you constructing different to take advantage of that?
So we're not, they don't have accessory dwelling specifically built into them, but we do have optionality within the floor plan. So a few of our floor plans do have what we've called a guest suite on the main floor, with laundry rooms, actually, full bathroom and so on. So a lot of people have really opted in for that, especially with an aging parent, to keep them on the main floor.
Absolutely.
Of the home.
And if you look at that project, or look at any of your projects, how has pricing changed over the past few years? Are you seeing, obviously the market's very different now, or are builders just saying, okay, we're just going to wait until the market catches back up, or are you seeing prices decreasing, increasing? Where are you seeing pricing now?
It's a very good question, and I think you're seeing a little bit of everything. There are those builders who have paused, much like in the high-rise landscape. You know, they haven't brought a new project to market yet. There are some builders that have brought new projects to market and have perhaps adjusted their pricing from what they anticipated originally to what today's market conditions are. And you're seeing some builders that are just, you know, remaining status quo and waiting for the market and that confidence, that buyer confidence, to come back. Those builders feel that they are priced reasonably for what their offering is at the moment. And those ones, I find, you know, you're getting incentives across the board, I think, but maybe a little bit more incentives on those projects that are sort of have been out in the market for a little bit longer at the moment.
Right. And we talk about incentives, is that like design dollars, or what are the popular incentives right now that you're seeing?
So design dollars have you know, that's a fairly common one. That's a great way for buyers to, you know, think about customizing and personalizing their home later in the process, which is fabulous. Another incentive that you're seeing right now are the mortgage rate buy downs programs offered through the builders and the banks. That is obviously very specific to the primary concern at the moment of mortgage rates and where those have kind of gone to, albeit, you know, there's been a pause on those increases, and hopefully in the near future, we will start to see some minor changes to those downwards. But you're seeing that mortgage buy down program. So a builder will essentially buy down the mortgage for typically a 2 or 3 year time period, which can provide some cost savings to the home buyer.
We talked a little bit about auxiliary units within homes. Curious to see, like, how have you been seeing your product changing over the past few years? Like, what is a project? What's new in projects right now, or new in designs right now? that is starting to come out to the market?
Lots of exciting stuff, actually. I would say over the past few years, especially through COVID, you know, that working from home desire or need in some cases really spawned emphasis on that work from home office flex space area, creating separate areas for homeowners to sort of enjoy on their own if everyone is still working from home, and making sure that you get that separation from, you know, your work day in your office to walking around the corner to the kitchen. You know, how does that feel different? So trying to really differentiate those spaces and create those opportunities for people to work from home and still feel like they're, you know, they're not stuck in the one box, you know, the entire day. The other thing that we're really working on as Geranium right now is the emphasis on accessory dwelling units, ADUs, we refer to them as. So in a project community that we're working on, which we'll be launching later this year in Fergus, we are designing right now with our architects beautiful bungalows and two-story home offerings that also have an accessory dwelling unit component to it. So someone who is looking for that, whether it be for, again, a multi-gen living scenario or a rental potential, that is something we are designing towards now. That is also something that the industry in general is working toward.
Definitely see it a lot more in the U.S. I mean, I imagine you guys look to the U.S. builders a lot on this because there's so much ADU happening in that market.
Definitely, definitely. We're feeling a need for it too. People are asking for that. People, you know, with home prices these days, it is hard to for a young family or a couple to afford an average priced home of $1.5 to $2 million. So how are they doing that? We're seeing a lot of families buying together. And when families are buying together, you need those spaces. You need that separation.
You mentioned bungalows. I want to spend a little bit of time on bungalows, bungalows, because I know that they're a hot commodity right now, especially as people are downsizing and want one floor living. Can you talk a little bit about your experience in the bungalow space and what your thoughts on them are? How are they doing? Are they still selling as fast as they were selling a few years ago?
Bungalows are interesting. Bungalows are in, I would say, always high demand because there is a demographic that we've found that's really appealing to. So someone who's looking, toward their retirement or toward their later stages in life that wants that single level living, you know, primary bedroom on the main floor, so they don't have to do stairs, that bungalow option is very, very desirable. You don't see a lot of bungalows these days. Simply because you need a larger lot size. It's a larger, what we refer to as a floor plate. So a larger coverage area for homes. They're not as easy to build sometimes from a builder's perspective, not referring to the construction of them, obviously, but just from a general, purchase price, the profitability of them
End of the day. It has everything that a normal house has except only over one floor. So it's not like the savings that you would assume would be in a bungalow.
Correct. From a construction cost perspective. But we've seen a lot of demand for them. We recently completed a community in Port Perry of bungalows on 42 and 50 foot lots, where the bungalows themselves were ranging anywhere from about 1500 to about 2500 square feet if you added the loft option, which gave you another bedroom, another bathroom, and a recreation space. We saw a lot of home buyers move from York Region, Durham, to Port Perry, which is in sort of North Durham area, specifically for the bungalows, which was a little bit surprising, especially from York Region buyers, because they were moving so far out of where they had lived for the last 20 years in their family home, simply to get a bungalow. So it was a very, very successful community for us. We've just actually finished moved our last homeowners in there late last year.
Congrats.
Thank you. And we have another bungalow community coming just north of there, actually. We're just going through the approvals process at the moment, so I can't share too much about it. But those ones will be beautiful. They're going to be right, not directly on Lake... on the lake, but just off the peninsula on the lake. So they're going to have some beautiful views and some larger home sizes there, bungalow living as well.
It'll be interesting to see many years from now, much like with Toronto. If you look at, you know, Midtown Toronto used to be all bungalows. Now those are all being topped up. No bungalows in sight now. Be interesting to see 50, 80 years from now, if you look at Port Perry, if those will all be densified and starting to increase in square footage. When I talk about square footage, on the high-rise side, people often look at price per square foot. That's like a very common metric, especially with investors. It's if you're looking at two units, one's 1,500 a square foot, one's 1,400 a square foot. If they're kind of equal finishing, you can go for the 1,400. You know, it's a good metric to know value, which is very different than on the low-rise side. On the low-rise side, you know, you're looking at a lot, and then you're putting a house on that lot. What is the metric that consumers use on the low-rise side to be able to gauge value or make determinations on what the best value is on a lot plus house?
That's a great question, Matt. And I think it's there's a big answer to that that has so many different components to it. One of the things I find, especially in the low-rise landscape, and more so for the homes that Geranium is more, I wouldn't say more accustomed to building, but definitely the communities that we've had more recently, we are known a little bit more for our estate homes, so our larger executive residences. In those instances, I find that it really is more home buyer driven in terms of the location, in terms of the size of the home, the amenities within the home, and the finishing level of those homes. And home buyers are prepared to pay what the price is for that. And if they can't find a comparable project, then you're not necessarily making those sort of calculations. However, with that said, if you are looking at sort of assessing the value of a particular community that you're looking at, you know, you want to make sure that you're looking apples to apples. What is your lot frontage? So if, you know, a 36-foot lot, you're comparing that to another 36-foot lot. What is the home size that's going on that lot? Is it a comparable square footage? And then finally, looking at the features and the finishes. What are the included features and finishes? And again, if you've got a very similar specification level, then you can sort of say, okay, you know, community A is priced at this price, community B is priced $100,000 less. If they're within the same geographic area, or if you're comfortable in both of those areas, then yes, you may find more value in the one project. So it's a little bit difficult if you're not looking at a home that has those same
components. Which is why it makes sense for condos. You are often looking, in a sense, apples to apples in that
right. It's
the square footage that you're buying. You're not buying square footage on a lot.
Correct. Yeah. So it really, I find with the majority of our home buyers who do tend to be a little bit more end user driven, not investment driven, the price per square foot conversation is not really as prevalent. And it really does come down to the community, the area, the lot itself, the home itself, the inclusions of that home, the amenities, and so on.
And I imagine with that, the standards as well, what the standard finishings are, because that does vary across builders and makes a huge price difference, a high quality finishes versus a builder with standards.
Definitely. And that's for sure a consideration of home buyers, because then once you've purchased the home, I mean, that's the first really exciting part of the process. Then you have the next really exciting part of the process, which is customizing that home and personalizing it to your own desires. And that's where the second part of that mental math comes in of saying, how much am I going to have to put in here and invest in upgrades to make this the home that I'm really going to love at the end of the day?
And what about sidewalk versus no sidewalk? And not looking at the state homes, because I think that's different. I know you do a lot of estate homes, but on a typical average community, are purchasers wanting a sidewalk or wanting no sidewalk? What's the preference these days?
In my experience, people would prefer not to have a sidewalk. Typically, that gives you a longer driveway. So if you have multiple cars, you can get multiple cars in the driveway, and you also don't have to worry about not having to park over the sidewalk, because that is obviously a concern. So I have found in my experience that most people do not want to live on the side where there's a sidewalk. and will avoid them if they're purchasing a home.
It's so funny because I hear that all the time. And, you know, if you have auxiliary cars or trailers or big pickup trucks, you don't want the sidewalk. Coming from an urban dweller, my house now does not have a sidewalk and it drives me crazy. I mean, I like walkability, but a totally different mindset on the areas. I always find that sidewalk versus no sidewalk an interesting one. Who are you seeing currently buying? Like, what's the demographic look like of a buyer right now? Again, we can compare to any time period that you're interested in, but what does the demographic look like now?
I would say it's very similar to what it's always been. It really depends on the community and what it is that is on offer. You know, looking at our Midhurst community, which is just north of Barrie as an example, those are 36-foot and 42-foot lots. Smaller home sizes, anywhere from about 1,900 up to 3,000 square feet. 3,000 is not small by any means, but those communities, you're getting sort of the potentially the first-time home buyers, the couple with young children. That has not changed across the board. Bungalows, as an example, that we just talked about, the demographic for those in our experience has always tended to be the sort of late 40s on the low side, early 50s into their 60s, looking ahead to retirement and, you know, the not necessarily the aging in place fully, full scenario, but definitely that's a consideration as we get older. For our estate homes, we're seeing a little bit of a difference in that, in so much as the multi-generational living that we talked about earlier, or multiple families buying together, i.e. a brother and a sister buying the house together and their families both residing in there. So we are seeing a little bit of a change in the estate home.
Interesting.
Simply because the square footage allows for it.
Right. As we talk about these buyers, something you said previously was that buyers now are doing a lot more research. They feel like they've got more time. They're doing more visits to sales centers. How many visits are you seeing? I don't know if you guys have worked out the metrics, but like how many visits for someone who's looking to buy and think, oh man, like I can't bug the salesperson anymore. I've been by 12 times. Like what is the number, the typical number of BBACs that someone comes into a sales center before buying now?
You know what? If there was a BBAC that came in 12 times, we'd be happy to see them every single time. So I love that. With that said, I mean, on average, and again, it really is community specific. We could see anywhere from 2 to 3 visits to sometimes 5 to 6 visits, especially on our larger estate homes. That's typically sort of what we're seeing before they actually decide to purchase.
And if you compare that to a time in our history when there was like lineups around the block for sites, like back in that real heyday, were people there buying just on the spot? It was like one visit, they had came with a check in their hand and were signing?
They were. And we've definitely seen those, you know, periods of time where there is so much demand for the homes that yes, people will buy on the spot. Having said that, we are now in a stage with the internet where people are doing all of that or the majority of their research online before they even walk through the door. You know,
Wait, you're telling me people can do their research online?
Right? Oh. Really? Is that a thing? There is not one person who walks through any of our doors that has not researched us online, that knows—
Unlivable
as well, formerly BuzzBuzz. That doesn't already know what they're coming for. And that is so important. And I would say to, you know, all of us that are in the industry, having that information available for people looking on our websites, including pricing, you know, if you're comfortable doing it, only equates to more qualified buyers. And at the end of the day, for us at Geranium anyway, that is what the priority is.
How has your sales team adapted to that? Because that is a big change from, you know, it's something that I see a lot of people struggling with in the industry is moving from order taking when people literally came with a check in hand, like, give me this unit, I need access to this unit, to now where there is more of an actual sales cycle and the sales person needs to be actually selling a product. Like, how are you finding the sales teams managing with that change?
It's getting back to basics. At the end of the day, sales is communication, sales is engagement. Sales is working with homeowners in our industry to decipher what their needs and their desires are and helping them find a home or a lot or a community that suits what they're looking for. I have a hospitality background before getting into real estate. So customer service is very big for me. And that is something I always impress upon our sales teams and our sales offices as well, is welcome that person in and offer them a coffee, offer them a water, make them feel comfortable, get to know them. You know, that's part of what our job is to help guide prospective home buyers to the right home for them. Because the worst thing at the end of the day is someone that goes home having just made a commitment on the biggest purchase of their lives, most likely, and having that buyer's remorse or buyer's regret. And so one of the things that we focus ourselves on, especially in a market like now, where people aren't lining up at the doors, and that's totally okay, we would rather you come and visit us 12 times and sign a purchase and sale agreement with 100% confidence than go home and then come back to us the next day and say, we're rescinding.
Yeah.
You know, that's not helpful to anyone. So we've always said to our team members, you know, have them go home. It's a non-pressure sales environment in many situations. You know, I can tell you're not 100% comfortable right now. Go home, sleep on it, talk to your family about it. Invite your family to come into the sales office. We'll schedule another appointment for you. And I think that's really, really key in these markets and working with prospective home buyers on the biggest purchase of their lives.
Yeah, I love that. And as we talk about a market where people aren't lining up around the block, marketing has changed a lot. Where do you market now? What's your kind of main sources for marketing and trying to get out to people? Because you are now having to reach, I feel, a lot more people to bring those fewer qualified people in.
So without telling all of our secrets, no, I'm kidding. Our strategies are still very multi-platformed approach. And what I mean by that is that we advertise and we try to reach you from a digital platform perspective. So when you're on your tablets, on your phones, on your computers, so there is a big digital component. Social media plays a big part of how we create awareness of our communities. There are certain communities and projects that are still very traditional media focused, with the local newspapers as an example. Radio, you know, gives us that awareness of a community. And then we start to get a little bit more guerrilla tactic. One of the things that we pride ourselves on here at Geranium is our community involvement and our local sponsorships and how we engage with the communities in which we're building in. So you'll see, and if you follow us on our social platforms, you'll see a lot of times, you know, we're in Aurora at, you know, I think we're doing the spring market this weekend, actually, in Aurora. And, you know, our geranium tent will be there. We'll be handing out, you know, information, really just talking with the local community and getting involved and showing our support of the communities in which we build.
We've talked about a lot of different areas now, from Willenbury to Aurora to Fergus. What are the really hot areas right now? Are there any really hot areas?
You're seeing little pockets all over. I think I mentioned earlier, you know, little things in York Region, King City, you know, Durham, Pickering. In the West End, I would say Niagara is still churning out, you know, some success there. But really, for us anyway, the biggest success story and the biggest area that we're seeing a lot of sales in is that North Pickering kind of area,
right?
Claremont for us.
I just want to move into kind of your upcoming launches. Anything, I know you can't share that much, but you do have, we just talked about Fergus. You do have a project in Fergus, and I think that is your next launch. Want to tell us a little bit about that project, where it is, the price ranges, frontage, housing types, architectural stylings, anything you could share on that project. And, you know, if you're able to talk a little bit about pricing, that would be great as well.
So we are coming to Fergus later this year. So we're just working through all of our marketing, branding, collateral setup, and so forth. We are coming just outside of Fergus, actually, to the community of Bellwood. We will have 118 homes on half-acre lots. And our home styles there are going to be very similar to the ones in Clare Haven, in Claremont that we've been talking about, which are bungalow loft options and two stories. And this is where we're also working on a couple of new plans that include the accessory dwelling units as well. So we're really, really excited about those. What's also very unique to these plans is when we look at the emphasis on the external amenity area, so your backyard, we're going to the extent of looking at how someone may program their backyard space with potentially a pool and designing a lanai type of feature that's going to come off the back of the homes that will interact with potentially where a pool will go and how that becomes that indoor-outdoor space from your interior, you know, great room as an example that then extends into your lanai with these huge big doors that open up in the summertime so you can really kind of enjoy that interactive nature. So some really, really cool features coming up in that. You know, we talk about flex space, some flex areas as well, a lot of optionality in the floor plans for additional bedrooms, full accessory dwelling units. So we're very excited to bring that community to market. It'll be coming out probably late summer, early fall. Prices are still to be determined. But again, these are estate style homes on half acre lots. So I would probably guesstimate in the range of, you know, $2.5 million, probably upwards from there. And we're really excited about it.
You should check out our concept home, which we recently launched. And it's not a house of the future. It's a house for today, but it was really built on more on the West Coast. So bigger lots, which would actually kind of fit in here. And a lot of what you're talking about is kind of in this concept home. Could get some good ideas because there's no doubt when I look at a lot of these subdivision homes, they don't take into account the programming of the backyard. There's like, you look at these houses, there's a builder's deck on the back, empty everything, and no thought on how people are actually going to use it. And you know, and I'm just thinking about this because the concept home where we actually programmed in, if people are going to have a pool, there's a side entrance to a bathroom that people could use so that if people are in your backyard, they don't have to come through your house to use the bathroom. There's kind of quick access in that's shared with a third bedroom. So you should check that out because I think it might give you some good ideas. And then another project that I wanted to kind of mention, actually before I get into that, and we talked a lot about this and wondering how it's going to actually get into play with Fergus. I don't know if you know the answer to this yet. But how are you launching the project? Is it being launched in a different manner than obviously you would have done when we talked about lineups around the block? Or like, what does your launch look like now?
So we're starting to talk about that at the moment. Nothing confirmed at this point. I'm not anticipating anything drastically different. The approach that we've taken with many of our projects is always based on an awareness component. So getting the project name out there, the information out there. You know, working with the local broker community as well. So realtors, both locally in the area of Fergus in the West End, but also some that are known to us in this area as well that may have clients that are looking to move out of GTA potentially and looking for that type of home style. Are we going to come up with some cool little ideas? Yes. but beyond that, we're still a little bit preliminary in our planning. Yeah.
One other thing I want to kind of mention is a trend that's happening more across Ontario as land near the GTA becomes more scarce. We're starting to see golf courses turn into communities. And I know, again, we talked about Geranium kind of is in this niche of able to deal with really complex sites. And I imagine turning a golf course into a community is quite the process. You have recently, I don't know if it was recently, but you have launched a project called Allegro, which is on an old golf course. Can you tell us a little bit about that process and what the community looks like? Does it feel like you're on a golf course? Like what's the, how does that all work?
So Allegro is a very interesting project. Not only from a homeowner perspective and living there, but from a development perspective as well. So it was the former Highland Gate Golf Course. It was a redevelopment of that golf course, which was very, had had very, very narrow fairways. So it was previously a larger golf course that had been redeveloped portions of it many, many years prior. And now it was the full redevelopment of the rest of the site. And as you can imagine, having homes literally on both sides of a very narrow fairway, it was a big challenge for our team to come up with, you know, how are we going to design homes that most importantly suit the neighborhood and the community, which is an existing detached community of larger homes. You know, it wouldn't have been appropriate for us to come in there with townhomes and put townhomes everywhere. So we wanted to make sure that we were complementary to the existing community. So as a result, we have developed 52 and 61 foot lots. And what's very interesting there, given the narrow fairways of the community, is that we didn't have space to put homes on both sides of the road. So we have what are called their single loaded roads, which means that there's only houses on one side of the road. So you have your road, you have your house on the one side. And then on the other side, which was backing on to other existing homes, we have sort of what we internally refer to as a buffer area, which is about a 10, 12 meter wide area where there's now a trail for people to walk down, which really gives a lot of separation between the homes that now our new homes are facing.
I'm seeing that a lot more where it used to be kind of you had an avenue in a subdivision, the houses would back onto that avenue, just have this big sound barrier fence that kind of ruined the vibe of the avenue, to now being all front facing, front loaded, as you call it, with kind of these pathways, just make it seem so much more enjoyable as a community.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And Allegro, we launched the community a few years ago. So we have lots of residents that are living in the community already. We have two beautiful model homes, so you can go and experience what that feels like. The most amazing thing I would say about Allegro being an infill community is that it's a mature treed area in downtown Aurora. So you have from day one, 60 foot trees, mature trees in your backyard, gracing your, you know, view. It's absolutely incredible. So when you talk about, you know, moving into a new subdivision where, you know, the boulevard trees are planted and, you know, we do subdivisions as well. And that's a lovely experience for many. But if you're looking for something that's a little bit more unique, that gives you that mature treed environment, definitely check out Allegro, because that's cool. I would say that's one of the key selling features there.
So we talked about upcoming Fergus. We've talked about, you know, Claridge, you have about 70%. So you have some inventory left there. Allegro, you have inventory there. What other projects do you have inventory at? Like if someone's looking right now being like, oh, I got to buy a Geranium home. These people sound awesome. By the way, this is not a paid endorsement. You know, but I am curious where you have inventory, and if someone's interested in your home, obviously you mentioned your bungalows in Port Perry are last purchaser moved in, but you have something launching north there. But for someone who wants to move in tomorrow, where can they look?
If you want to move in tomorrow, we've got a great community in Midhurst, just north of Barrie, and that's called Midhurst Valley. That is a joint builder community with Geranium, Brookfield, Sundance, and Countrywide. So all four builders there. We've got a beautiful neighborhood right up just in Springwater, surrounded by, you know, trails and snowmobiling trails and golf courses and skiing and so on. There are move-in ready homes there, so you can definitely move in right away within 30 days even. All four builders do have some inventory homes available, so that would definitely be an option there. And prices are anywhere from for a semi detached in the 900s, so that sub 1 million price point, up to about 1.5 or 1.6 for the bigger homes there.
And for new communities that aren't launching but you still are selling lots, can you tell us, we mentioned Claridge and Allegro, what else do you have, if any?
So Clare Haven and Allegro are...
Clare Haven, sorry. You call Clare Ridge,
Clare Haven. That's okay. Clare Haven, we are just about to release our final lots there. We have about 20 lots remaining. We're launching those next week, early April. And those homes are anywhere from about 2.3 million up to over 3 million in price point. Again, we've talked a lot about that in terms of the bungalow, the 1-acre lots, the two-story homes up to 5,000 square feet. Allegro and Aurora, we have homes available there as well, 52 and 61 foot lots, homes anywhere from about 3,000 square feet up to just shy of 5,000 square feet on average, priced for about 2.5, again, over 3 million, and Midhurst. We do have two model homes actually in Port Perry that we're just about to sell. So that's exciting for someone looking for a quick move-in bungalow opportunity in Port Perry as well.
And if somebody is interested in one of these communities we mentioned, they can obviously come to Livable, type in Geranium, and click through to your website. Is that the best way to go right to the Geranium website and just find your community and contact there?
Definitely. Yeah, all of the information will be on our website. So geranium.com, you can select all of the projects. We have all of our contact information. Floor plans are on there. Our sales representatives get the real-time notifications when someone registers. So we're usually very quick to respond as well, which I know is important. Absolutely. And we would love to tour you through model homes or have a conversation with you.
And come back 12 times.
Absolutely.
Stephanie Lane, it has been an absolute pleasure having you. Fascinating discussion covering everything from new product types to background on Geranium to sidewalks versus no sidewalks to your upcoming stuff and current inventory. So thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks a lot, Matt.
Thank you for tuning into Livable Launch, your go-to podcast for all things condo and new home launches. We hope today's episode has given you valuable insights into the exciting world of real estate development and the minds behind these remarkable projects. We're incredibly grateful to our esteemed guests and our dedicated listeners like you who continue to make this podcast a success. Remember, Livable Launch is here to keep you informed, inspired, and engaged with the ever-evolving landscape of condo and new home developments. We value your feedback and want to ensure that Livable Launch remains your trusted source of information. So don't hesitate to reach out. Remember, we're all in this exciting journey together. If you have any questions or suggestions for future episodes, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with us on our website or social media platforms. And if you're a builder industry expert who wants to share your expertise and be featured on our show, please get in touch. We'd love to hear about your latest projects, launches, and insights. Thank you again for joining us on Livable Launch. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you never miss an episode. Stay up to date with the latest condo and new home launches, trends, and insider knowledge. Until next time, keep building, dreaming, and exploring the world of real estate. Remember, Livable Launch is here to guide you for every step of the way. I'm Matthew Slutsky, and this is Livable Launch signing off. Happy building, and see you soon.